Good morning again, church. Well, it is Sunday morning, our time. The last day of May. And we're entering a new month tomorrow, so winter is officially going to begin. And I trust God has been blessing you, keeping you, causing His face to shine upon you, giving you His peace and love and joy. And in spite of the turmoil in the world, the stability of the power of God, keeping His people from all harm and danger. Praise God, we serve an awesome God. You know, we're going to come around the table of the Lord, and we're going to share communion together, taking the bread and the wine. So you've got time to prepare that as we come around and listen to this amazing song of worship. But before we do, can I just say, things are changing. And to let you know, the church is currently looking at the regulations and what we can do, when we can start. I can't give any specifics right now, but this week the leadership team will be looking at where we're going and what we're doing and how we can best do it for everybody's information to come out, so we can inform you and let you know. Obviously the church will get back into action very soon, so stay tuned. We'll get Shelley to send out the news as soon as we've got it all penned and put together. But look, if you've been out of the loop a little bit and we haven't been communicating really well, I'm so sorry. But with the way it's been, nobody's had a clue where we're going and what we're doing and when things would change. But it looks like it's really starting to turn a page. So we can trust God for a release in this area, for the government to let things slide a little bit and the regulations down a bit. I believe you can meet with around about 20 now. How we accommodate that, I'm not sure. Then we can, I hear 1st of July, possibly from 50 on. So look, stay tuned. Keep an eye on your SMS messages, because we can't wait to see where we go and how God moves and what happens in the very near future. So prepare your communion and enjoy this amazing worship song.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus ascended, he took a position at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality, power, dominion, and might, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, so everything is in subjection to him. He said, I have the keys of death and of hell. He was given all authority. He said, all power and authority is given unto me. And you know, when we worship God, when we come before him and see him of who he is, it builds us up. It expands our capacity to embrace him for who he is. It expands our understanding and our spiritual grasp of God being the great God that he says that he is. You know, our faith will only carry us to receive from our current level of knowing God. And so when we express who God is in worship, it's not to remind him, but it's allowing an expansion of our faith to grasp the amazing greatness and wonder of this new covenant that we're walking in love and in grace and in the mercies of God, to the point that we can have no doubt at all that not only is God who he says he is, but that he will do who he says, what he says he will do. A lot of Christians believe God can do a lot of things. All things are possible, they say. Yes, and God can do this and God can do that. But they balk and stumble at Willie. We need to get to the point that through this new covenant experience, through this worthy Lamb, through this reigning King of glory, that God not only can, but will. He will act on our behalf. He will answer our prayers. He will meet our needs. He will revive us. He will heal us. He will restore us. He will, he will, he will. And everything Jesus said when people come to him, Lord, if you will, he said, I will. Never said I can, but not today. He said, I will, I will, I will. And so his will for us is all that he has made available to us. He really is who he says he is, and he really will do all that he he says he can do. Have you got your bread there? Have you got that amazing celebratory meal of who Jesus is and what he did for us at Calvary? We're going to take it together. And I'm telling you, if you're struggling in your life with anything, do this daily. Do it daily. Do it with your partner. Do it with your family. Take the bread. Take the cup. Don't go out into this world with its horrors happening without knowing that the communion reality of the new covenant has been applied to your life. And so we're going to take the bread now. In the name of Jesus, he said, "This bread is my body broken for you." Let's eat it together in Jesus' name. And then he said, "This cup is the New Testament," or the New Covenant. Oh, a new covenant. Not an old one that had conditions and we had to be subjected to so many do's this and do that's, but a new covenant. A new covenant sealed and made available to us through his precious shed blood. I know it's difficult sometimes to embrace this, but he said, drink all of it. All of that new covenant promise, all of that new covenant provision, all of the new covenant reality is ours. Now, we never have embraced all of it. But as we drink this cup, ask the Lord to reveal the depth, the breadth, the width, and the height of everything he provided through his love in this new covenant and what belongs to us through it. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Lord, thank you. We worship and honor you. We worship your holy name. We thank you that you are high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, you are the treasure of heaven. You are the champion of heaven, but you are the champion of our lives. You're the treasure of our lives, and we honor and worship you today. We bless your holy name. You are the King of glory. You are the great I am. You are the way. You are the truth and life. And we thank you today, Lord God, for all your love, your mercy, your grace, and your provision for us through the amazing act of Calvary. We bless your name and thank you for it today. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to move on a little bit from what I preached last week and talked about the wine and the wineskins. And you know, wineskins back in those days were made from animal skins, and they were obviously sewn up to be completely holding liquids and waterproof, so to speak, so that nothing would seep out or be lost in them. And therefore, what was stored in them was preserved and held. And that should be the same with us. You know, we're a wineskin for God's glory. And Peter and John, when they went into the temple, then they saw the lame man there, and he looked up at them expecting to receive something from them, obviously in the way of a gift or finance. But they said, "We've got no silver and gold, pal. But what we do have, what we do have, we are giving you." We're a wineskin stored up with the life of God. And they imparted the life of God into that man, took him by the hand and lifted him up and said, "In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he began walking and leaping and praising God. All because someone recognized that they had something that could be imparted to others. And you know, we've missed that so much. We need to know what we're carrying. We need to know what God has stored within us. We need to know what provision he made available to us to flow through us and from us into this world to other people. We need to be in the same vein as what Peter and John were. Sure, we haven't got the answer in ourselves, but what we do have, we can give you. And in the name of Jesus, we command you receive. We impart life into your situation of need. And I believe God is raising us up in this new season to be that very people. You know, we've got to learn that through our faith, we can expand and we can embrace and allow our life to be effective and operate for God with full confidence and with full assurance. The Bible talks about full assurance of faith. Before I get into that, let's look at something about wine. Wine is an interesting analogy in the scripture. The wine typifies the joy of the Lord in many instances. And so in this particular case, with wine being held in wineskins, brings a lot of joy. But the thing is, it was annual and it was seasonal in the natural. We know that there are grape harvests every year. There's a lot to do during the year to prune the vines and to ensure that the grapes are bringing their maximum potential when they grow and when they fruit. And so each season sees new wine. And the whole thing about new wine, especially in Bible times, it demanded new wineskins. And I don't think that's any different today. Surely we have a bottling process now, but we're looking at a biblical analogy here. And we need to look at the change in what is required if God is going to pour His wine into our lives. When we get born again, we are renewed by the Spirit of God. And God changes into a new wineskin and pours in His life to us, and we are born again. That's an amazing season in our life. But we grow a little bit. We get baptized or we get filled with the Holy Spirit. And we go through second and third and fourth seasons and we begin to grow and read the Word. And we go through various seasons and we begin to be renewed by God's Spirit as new seasons of wine are poured into our lives. And if we weren't renewed, we could never embrace those new seasons, because God wants to change us from glory to glory to glory. And to do that, He has to renew us. He has to renew us by His Spirit. We also have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, because we read the Word of God for renewing's sake as well. But what happens if we get saved and we go through that season and we get baptized and we go through that season and we become Christians serving God and go to church, and sometimes, then what? Then what? A lot of Christians, unfortunately, don't look for an ongoing process in their lives to allow the new season of God's wine to take them. They go to church, they're faithful, they hear great messages, they sing great songs. But is their effectiveness enhanced to the point where this new wine can be poured out thoroughly and affect others and change this world and the course of this world's destiny? You know, we need to be renewed at every season of God. And there have been many seasons where God has poured out His Spirit, where God has wanted to change the lives of men and women. And there was a season back at Pentecost where God poured out His Spirit. And in the book of Joel, it says, I will pour out of my Spirit. Not fully, He says of. I mean, if the book of Acts was such a dynamic transition in the life of the early church, and it was only of His Spirit, where was the rest? But there was a former rain and there was a latter rain. And I believe when God poured His Spirit out and caused revivals throughout this world, in Azusa Street, in Elam in England, in Sunshine in Australia, there was a pouring out of God's Spirit. But God said in the Word, He will pour out His Spirit. The former rain and the latter rain. Look out, we're in for a deluge. We are in for an outpouring of God in a season that we've never seen before. And we need to prepare for that season. Are the wineskins ready? Are the wineskins going to cope with what God wants to pour out? And you know, we can't remain in an old season regardless of how important it was at the time or the importance to it of that season in our life. We need to embrace it. We need to treasure it. We need to learn from it. We need to grow from it. We need to take from it all that we can in every possible way. But Hebrews 6:1 reminds us this: leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's the first steps of salvation. Let's go on to full maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. We don't have to get saved again and again and again, and of faith towards God, or of the doctrine of baptisms, plural, or the laying on of hands. These things are actually first principle teachings. The resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and these things we will revert to and go back to when God permits, when He wants us to go back and learn from them again. But we don't stay there. We go on to full maturity. The principles are there to build on. The principles are there to grow from. But we don't stay there. In verse 10 it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've sown toward His name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do constantly minister. But we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you be not slothful, but through followers of them who through faith and patience inherit God's promises." He says, yeah, I've seen your work, I've seen your faithfulness, I've seen your serving, I've seen your ministering, I've seen the wondrous things you're doing daily. But there's a greater assurance, and we need to be diligent to ensure that we get to that. Not getting slothful or slack or complacent, but through following those who, or seeing others who through faith and patience inherited the promise of God. And we need to ensure that we are prepared and ready. We need to know that God is wanting to move on. We need to know that God has got a new season for us to move into. And I'm convinced that where we're going now is going to be a dynamic season, a power and authority season, an outpouring of God's Spirit season, a new wine and to new wineskin season. Wow. But seasons have variations. Even in the natural, there are summer seasons, winter, autumn, and spring. And God promised as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest time, summer and autumn, rain and no rain. He said that would continue perpetually and as long as the earth remains. And so regardless of what the popular opinion is in the world today, God promised seasons would remain. And whether we go through dry ones or wet ones or snowy ones or barren ones or whatever, they will not completely last forever, because God promised there will be seasons that will last. Amen? And so those natural seasons will continue. Well, I'm telling you this, we need to embrace every season with faith. We need to embrace the dry ones, the wet ones, the other ones. But we need to ensure that we learn spiritually when God puts us through a season, that we learn from it. The Bible in Hebrews 10:35 says, "Cast not away your confidence, which has a great outworking of reward. For you have need of patience after you've done the will of God, that you might receive His promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he'll not hold back. The just shall live by faith." Regardless of where you're at, regardless of your season, the just need to live by faith. And if any man draw back or just turn around and say, this is not for me and I can't handle this, the word says, "My soul shall have no pleasure in him." We can't have that happening. We need to keep going. We need to keep growing. The Bible provides for us to grow. We grow so many ways. The Bible tells us if we're in Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish." Not just stagnate or go on doing no more. They flourishing. Something that flourishes has constant growth. Glory to God. "They'll flourish in the courts of our God. they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Don't let old age stop you. I'm 71 this year, but I tell you what, I don't feel it, I don't act it, and I certainly don't want to ever let it stop me from going on for what God wants me to do. I think the best is yet to come. This bit I'm not sure about, though. We shall still bring forth fruit in old age. The Bible says, and they shall be fat and flourishing. Well, I'm not too happy with the fat bit, but the flourishing's good. But being fat doesn't necessarily talk about being obese or overweight. Being fat in this instance, I believe, talks about having an abundance of what God has for us to flourish and grow in. Amen? And to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. You know, the Bible says we shall flourish like a palm tree. The amazing thing about palm trees is when they grow, if you stuck a nail in a palm tree that was 2 foot tall, that nail would still stay at the same height. The palm tree actually grows fatter at the base to support the rest of the tree as it grows up from the center upwards. And then it sheds branches in order to reach its full potential. You know, palm trees, if they had all their branches, and you see the palm trees, they've got the broken stubs left all the way up to the top. And they grow to full stature by shedding branches. And that's an amazing picture of what God wants for us, renewing the wineskin to go into new seasons with new life. Wow, God is so good. The Bible says we're to all come in together in the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, Lord, help us. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ being the anointed one and his anointing fully flowing in and through us. I think that's amazing. Jesus said, the works I do, you will do, and greater works will you do because I go to the Father. We have missed the boat considerably, but I believe this season is a season of renewing wineskins for God to pour out the wine of the Lord, the oil of his anointing, for us to contain and to grow and go on in. That why Ephesians 4:14 says that we're henceforth, from that time on, no more children that are tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of fad and doctrine, by the craftiness of men and their cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive us, but speak the truth in love that we might grow up in all things in him, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted or solidified or formed by that which every joint supplies, and according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, the body makes full increase of itself unto the edifying and building of itself in love. There's an effectiveness if everybody's functioning that we have not yet embraced or seen. And I'm encouraging you today to grow up in him, to learn what he has for you, to take your part and place in the kingdom so that there is a full functioning and a supplying of every part in an effectual working measure that increases the body to be fully functional and edifying and building of itself in love. You know, 1 Peter 2:1 encourages us. And these are all growth scriptures. These are all scriptures to help us develop and to help us grow in God. It says, get rid of all evil behavior. This is in the New Living Translation. Very, very interesting. Be done with all deceit, with all hypocrisy, jealousy, all unkind speech. Don't let it be part of your life. And like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk, so you will grow into a full experience of total salvation, crying out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Wow. Wow. Let's discipline ourselves, be diligent in our sincerity for growing in God the way the Word encourages us to, so that we can continue on for full growth in Him. Peter 3:1 says this: I'm warning you ahead of time, dear friends, be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of wicked people and lose your own footing. Chapter 3, verse 18, rather you must grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There were several warnings that people in the end times, time would come when men would not endure sound doctrine. They would not endure the reality of the Scriptures. They would not adhere to what Jesus taught and what the Word of God teaches. They would get into deceptive things and doctrines of devils and lying spirits and all that sort of thing. And they'd turn away from the truth. I'm telling you, we need to be on our guard today more than ever, because there is a ploy across this planet to get people focused on other issues that are actually man-made issues, global warming and all those sorts of things that are focusing men's attention on things that are not what God said. As long as the earth remains, there will be full seasons. There'll be hot ones and cold ones and wet ones and dry ones, but they'll be there. And the earth is still remaining, so nothing has changed. Wow. Wow. We must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Growing up in Him. You know, the Bible in 1 John 2:6 says this: if any man says he abides in Him, he ought, has an obligation, full obligation, himself to walk just as Jesus walked. Wow. I can't say I abide in Christ and walk my own way, do my own thing, be my own person. I have to walk as Jesus walked. I have to walk in the compassion He walked in. I have to walk in the love that He walked in. I have to walk in the obedience that He walked in. I have to walk in the commitment that He walked in. Wow. That's a challenge. That's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to each and every one of us to follow and grow into Christ Jesus. Colossians says this when Paul was talking to them: for though I'm absent in the flesh, in chapter 2, verse 5, yet I'm with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order. Wow. They were functioning. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Wow, we've received Christ Jesus as Lord. We've got a walk to do. We've got to walk in Him. If we say we abide in Him, we have to walk as He walked. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith as you've been taught. Abounding in faith. Abounding therein, it says. Understand that? Built up in Him, established in the faith, being taught and abounding in those things. Rooted in Him, built up in Him, established in the faith, taught of Him, abounding in those things with thanksgiving. Not just attaching them to our lives and saying, oh yes, well I do this and I do that. No, it's an abounding in those things to be fully growing in Christ and growing up in Him. You know, I find in talking to a lot of people, there's so many people doing Bible studies and studying books of the Bible or studying topics or studying things, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Don't misquote me. I love studying the Word of God. It is absolutely vital, and it's imperative to our growth and our learning of God. But the most people that I've spoken to, they get a study of knowing the written word and haven't seen the living word in what they're learning. When we study the Word of God, don't just study the Bible for the Bible's sake, but find out where Jesus is, the living word in that Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you and impart it to you and enlighten it to you and make it real to you and allow Jesus to be seen in it through you. Because he's the living word. He was there from the beginning, it tells us in John's gospel. So if we're growing up into him, which is the head, don't focus on just becoming parrots that can speak the written word. You can teach a parrot to quote the Bible, but we need to know the living word. We need to know him. We need to get to have an intimate relationship with him. And if you struggle with it, do what I did so many years ago when I was taught by a guy named Hal Oxley, who was the pastor at the Bible college I went to and my mentor and guide in the faith in so many ways. And he said, pray, read the scriptures. If any man, who's any man? Ken isn't any man. So if Ken be in Christ, Ken is a new creature. All things, old things in Ken's life have passed away, and behold, all things in Ken's life have become new. And I had to apply the word of God to me to be able to see the reality of who God was and who I was in him and what he'd changed in my life. And reading the scriptures that way, putting me in it in a personal sense, absolutely enlightened the word of God in so many areas of my life. That was growing up into him. You know, if God is all that he says he is, and you can read that from Genesis to Revelation, you need to believe the word of God from Genesis to the maps, I'm telling you. And in that, God says who he is so many times, and what he is, and how he revealed himself. And if God is so serious about saying who he is, and if he is all he says he is, then we need to believe that we are also all that he says that we are. We need to embrace that. We need to believe it and be fully persuaded of it, never doubt it. And the reason we are all that he says that we are, new creatures in Christ Jesus, seated with him in heavenly places, made anew, founded upon the rock of salvation, renewed in Christ Jesus. Everything that he says we are has a functional purpose for us to be fully functional in his kingdom. It's not there for us to have a status. It's there for us to have a functionality. And let's embrace that. Let's grow up into that. We need to continue to grow. In Ephesians 2:19, the word of God says, now you are no more strangers and foreigners, talking to the Gentiles of the day, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Whoa! I'm a fellow citizen, glory to God, of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm in a building made by him, formed by him, and held together by him. Isn't that amazing? And whom the whole building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple or a habitation in the Lord. In whom we're also all built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We've got such an incredible calling on our lives. Such an incredible God who has formed us and shaped us for his glory. We need to allow that glory to be seen in us, through us, and expressed by us in every possible way. Amen. Mark 4:30 says this, and Jesus said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed when it's sown in the earth. It's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Has no real significance. But when it's sown, it grows up. It grows up. It grows up. It grows up. This is an analogy of the kingdom of God in our lives. Growing up becomes greater than all herbs. Shoots out great branches so the fowls of the air lodge under the shadow of it. It's got so much of a purpose. Rather than just being a seed that it once was, it has to function and grow fully to be fully effective. That's what God wants in our lives. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he reap. And he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's quite an amazing scripture, that sowing has to do with things being planted to grow. So if we're going to plant things of the flesh, if we're going to plant things that grow in our life, that feed our flesh, or that are based on our fleshly passions, desires, and desires and everything else, it will reap corruption. Wow. But if we want to grow in the Spirit, we need to sow to the Spirit, and we will reap life everlasting. And in verse 9, Paul writes and says, let us not be weary. Don't tire of it. Don't back off. Don't get slack. Don't think, oh, I did that yesterday, I don't have to do it today. I read my Bible last year, why should I read it this year? Well, I'm telling you, if you're not reading your word daily, you are starving yourself of what God's got for you. That word is life to every one of us. We cannot be weary in well-doing, for in due season, what's that, a season? There's a season in due season. What are you going to do? Are you going to be prepared and ready for a season that God's got for us? In due season, we will reap if we do not slacken off or faint, it says here. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, do not be weary in well-doing. Same basic encouragement. We need to ensure that we don't get fatigued in going on in God. We need to be diligence, a discipline and a passion and a perseverance in Jesus' name. Wow. You know, there's a caution in Colossians 2, and I know I might be laboring this a little bit, but there was the tendency of the church to get up and caught up in rituals or in rules and regulations or observing certain seasons and times and days, and I guess the Jews of the day were trying to make sure that everybody kept up the rituals of all of the previous era under the old covenant. But Paul says, let no one act as your judge in regarding to food or drink, or in respect of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which were a mere shadow of what is to come. Isn't that incredible? They were focusing on the shadow, but they ignored the light that was casting the shadow. Incredible. And that's what happens when we focus on things that we think we've got to do to be good or to please God. No, God is pleased with us already, and he wants us to allow his life to show through us, not to dance in shadows thinking we're being good for God. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in the self-abasement or worship of angels, or taking his stand on visions, or inflated without cause by fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, the Lord Jesus, from whom the entire body is supplied and held together and functioned through joints and ligaments, growing with a growth which is from God, not from shadows. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of this world, why, as if living in this world, do we submit ourselves to certain degrees and rules and regulations, such as, oh, I can't handle this, or I can't taste that, or I can't touch the other? These things perish with their using according to the commandments and teachings of men. Don't get caught up in ritualistic repertoire or religious practices. Religion is man's form of trying to find God. Jesus Christ is God's answer to finding man. Get caught up in things, we keep trying to look, we keep looking in our own strength, not receiving from God and his strength in what he's already provided. And it says here in the Amplified version of verse 23, such practices indeed have the outward appearance that popularly passes for wisdom in promoting self-imposed rigor of devotion and delight in self-humiliation and severity of the discipline of the body, but they, all these actions, are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh, of the lower nature. Instead, they do not honor God, but serve only to indulge the flesh. they will stunt your growth, because your flesh, if we sow to it, will reap corruption. We need to sow to the Spirit to reap the life that God wants for us. And getting caught up in religious non-necessities will cause all of these distractions and stunt our growth in Him. A new season will demand the renewing of the wineskin. Get ready. Get ready. Ask God to renew you, to renew your thinking. Determine to renew your thinking by the Word. Get into it. Absorb it as much as you can, so that the wineskin of your life and my life will be renewed in preparation for what God wants. We need to renew our submission and our obedience. We need to renew our diligence. We need to renew our well-doing. We need to renew our focus. We need to renew our growing. We need to renew our diligence and discipline and determination. We need to be prepared to fully receive of the outpouring of God's Spirit and the new wine. Full functionality demands full preparation. And that goes in so many aspects of life. If things are not fully prepared, if someone never fully prepared an aeroplane, do you think I'd want to fly in it? No chance. I want to be in a position of full preparation in order to have full functionality in God. Paul said, you know, when people run a race, only one receives the prize. But then he encourages us and he says, run anyway so that you may receive. Run, run, run. And allow God to cause you to grow in Him. Let your life grow in Him. Seek sustenance from the Word of God to grow in Him. Take time in prayer to get to know Him and talk to Him. And then let Him talk to you as well. Let Him speak to you. Let Him impress your heart and mind with who He is and with His input into your life. Growth comes from Him. Just an amazing God that we serve. There's a season coming. We're right on the crux of it. We're right on the threshold of it. And I believe God is saying to the church today, and I'm hearing it being preached as I watch so many programs from so many parts of the world, and I'm listening to other preachers, and what are they saying, and what is God saying? The same message seems to be over and over and over. There's a season that God wants us to be prepared for. And I'm asking now that in the name of Jesus, we take this seriously. And we allow our wineskins to be renewed by Him. Because the vessels that He wants to pour His Spirit into must contain it. Not burst and waste what He pours out. Not burst and be non-functional. We need to be fully functional for the kingdom of God to grow both in us, through us, around us. In the area we live in this country we live in the suburbs we live in, and throughout the world. If the church is prepared and ready, God will pour out the Spirit. God will pour out the new wine. God will take us seriously, and He'll use us for the extension of His kingdom. Amen? For His glory. Oh, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, firstly, Lord, we repent for the lethargy we've shown, for the lack of diligence, for the lack of discipline, for where we've failed You. But Lord God, our hearts are turning towards You now. And You said, Lord, that if our hearts would turn to You, You would hear us, You'd meet us, You'd embrace us. Right now, Lord God, I pray for every person listening to this message. I pray, Lord God, there would come a conviction. There would come a determination. There would come a real sincere gut-wrenching grit in every person's life, Lord God, that says, I am never going to fail, my God. I will allow my wineskin to be renewed, not just once, but daily. Every time, Lord God, I'm challenged to allow Your Spirit to infill me, I will allow this wineskin to be renewed by Your Spirit. Holy Spirit, take me now. Renew me now. Take the word that I've learned and I've applied in my life. renew my mind, renew my heart, renew my thinking, renew my activities. And in the name of Jesus, I surrender afresh to you today to be a vessel that is renewed for the outpouring of your Spirit, to be able to impart and pour such as I have and give to others. I ask this, Father, today in the mighty and the glorious name of Jesus. As we finish off, can you just use this song as a prayer for your life, for God to embrace what you've just prayed to Him now? God bless you all.
With the anointing.